accession number 26748, rail 4.
Larry, come on, rail 4. Larry, you were telling me that you went to war routine. How different was that from peacetime routine aboard the Belfast?
Well, things weren't taken as easy. You see, it was easy going routine on board. But now, it's serious routine. That's about the difference. Everything had to be really serious now. And you had to prepare this and prepare that. You know, everything had to be brought up to scratch, which wasn't really fighting, fit. The ship had to be really brought up to really instant action station position, so that everybody was right up to it and quick. So it was a case of practice. Everybody practicing everything,
And was there any sort of things that you would do on board the ship? Would you travel then without lights, or would that be wartime routine that you would travel without lights and that sort of thing?
Oh, it was always blackout from that day onwards. Every ship blacked out every night. Always, yeah. Full blackout.
Were there restrictions with doing that about people smoking on the deck as well?
Oh, yeah. No smoking. That could be seen for miles. Oh, no. No, no. If you had a smoke, it was down below.
I was going to actually ask you about discipline aboard Belfast. Was there any disciplinary problems on board?
No trouble.
It sounds very much like it was a very happy ship and worked very well together.
That's right, it was, yeah, it was.
And really, a final question in that sense, did you enjoy your time aboard Belfast?
I did, yes. I thought it was great, yeah. I did, yeah. It's such an experience from a destroyer, that made it as well, But nothing you can do if anything happens and you leave a ship, you have to find another, and that's it. That's all there is to it. The philosophy was, I wonder what I'm getting next.
And where did you go next?
Wrestler. What a ship. That's the one that I have a lot of memories of. A wrestler. An old 1918 B&W class destroyer, built in 1918. Old for cockroaches. Yeah, she was, yeah. But we used to get rid of them, We'd put some burnt coffee in bottom of jam jars. And put them in, strategic points around the mess deck and that. And then inside the lip of the jam jar, we'd grease it with butter and stuff like that. So once they got in, there's no way out, And you could see these jars gradually filling up, They'd be after the coffee, but they couldn't get out. And we'd just tip them out over the side. Yeah, we found a way of getting them. But they're everywhere. I'm sure I ate a load. Oh, during the time on board, I must have ate quite a few of these, I think, in our cookery. And you can even cut them out of your bread when you got a bit of bread, when you're lucky enough to get some bread on board. You could cut the sods out. Yes, she'd plenty of cockroaches at the wrestler.
Where did you join her?
I joined her on the jetty at full speed ahead. I had to put all my gear. I only got a few hours' notice because she was sailing. And I had to pile all my stuff into my kit bag and grab my hammock and get on board as fast as I could. And she were off then. We were off to Med. Off to Mediterranean then, yeah. And I got on board and as I say, she's the right one. The lads were good and all, real good, yeah. And it were a different routine altogether, you see.
How did the routine differ then?
Oh, there was Slap happy. Slap happy. Overalls will do. Pair of overalls will do, you know, never mind a uniform. And we went out at Med and we joined Somerville and H Force, you know. And we had quite a spell out there. We patrolled between Tangiers, Spain, Gib, like a triangle affair. I know we did, we used to, that was our main duty when we first got out there, patrolling that area to prevent anything getting into Med, you know. And one night we had a set to with four French destroyers that were trying to get into Med. They fired at us, we fired at them, nobody had any hits. But they got into, you know, the scuttled as fast as they could. I have a feeling I might have met up with them later in the war. Same destroyers, but yeah, I'll come to that on Belfast, on the on Wrestler. And as I say, we did this, and we got odd jobs, like we escorted the cable ship Mirror to a point just off the Spanish coast, and it was right thick fog, and the sea was like a sheet of glass, just like a sheet of glass, not a ripple on it. And she was there doing a job down below, and we were escorting her. I don't think she was laying cables. She'd probably cutting them, you know. And we got that job, and I got a photograph of that. I've got a photo. This camera I've got here, honestly, it's there. That I bought that in Gibraltar in 1938. I'll show you my... and so, you know, we'd take the odd jobs here and there and patrolling and what have you. And then this flap came on. It came from Admiralty, to be quite honest, that the French were... French fleet in Oran, Meuse-el-Cabourg, were being awkward, that they wouldn't join us or whatever. And so the Valiant, the Hood, a few of us, we were given the task of saying, sort it out. And so we left Gib, and I think it was in around about July sometime. And we went to Oran, and we lay off the coast, and there were a lot of conflabs going on between the Admiralty and the Hood, and this Admiral Jensen or somebody ashore of the French fleet, I think here on the Britang, or one of them anyway, one of their battleships. But they had a choice. They were given, I think it were four choices they were given. And the Foxhound destroyer kept going in and coming out and back talking, and they were getting nowhere. But the choices were to join us. You see, we didn't want them to join up with the Italian fleet or the German fleet. It was a powerful fleet, what French fleet there. We'd have lost control at Med, that's for sure, if they had done, you know. Anyway, what happened was they turned all these alternatives down, and they could have put a reduced queue on and gone out at West Indies, or they could have gone to a neutral port, or they could scuttle them, and they wouldn't do any. So when it push came to shove, like, first thing I knew that they hadn't come to any agreement was, by the way, we were patrolling just outside the entrance of the harbour was the wrestler. First thing I knew was the Hood, woof, 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 you know, this terrific and screaming shells and what have you, go all over. And the Britann, the French battle wagon, she just went up in flames, straight up into the sky. I could see them, oh God. I thought, oh well, here goes, you know, this is it. And it did, it was it. The French batteries on the forts on the hill started belting us. We took about 200 shells, I understood later. Not one of them hit us. Well, but they were giving us all this stick, and so we started making smoke and doing a bit of zigzagging. And anyway, I think they'd forgot about us, because apparently they all gave a signal to say get Belfast, to get Wrestler out of there, you know, get her out of there. Anyway, that wasn't before the Strasbourg battle cruiser and a couple of destroyers, they got out. And I wasn't to know this until afterwards either. But she straddled us with a broadside of shells, and that they didn't hit us. Talk about luck. We were lucky that day. And off we went again, and they sent the aircraft from a nearby airfield to bomb us, the fleet, and they had to go at the Hood, and they came and they had to go at us. And with about 4 20-yard misses from bombs. And the old wrestler still got... You what? Oh, she were lucky that day. By gosh, you were lucky that day. And anyway, the Strasbourg got away and a couple of destroyers. But apparently, I think the Dunkirk was also smashed up. That didn't get, couldn't use that again. And a destroyer or two. And that put pay to the bitchy French. Had no time for them at all. Oh, they're a horrible crowd, that lot. And
had you had any contact with them prior to the...
Not personally, no. But we'd heard enough and seen enough and heard what they were up to and the way they were caving in and toadying up to Germans and all that nonsense, you know. Pétain, I think he was the one that was... But we... anyway, we'd put pay to that. We'd stop them. They didn't join him. And we carried on, and as you know, we took over the Med Force H and a few more.
What was your action stations on aboard Wrestler?
Oh, Wrestler, I was depth charges. Two depth charge racks, 4 depth charge throwers, and of course the torpedo tubes. We had 2 triple 21-inch torpedo tubes. And it was my job there. Also, I had to look after, or assist to look after the searchlight. That were a damn nuisance. The damn thing never worked. It was a damn nuisance. Old-fashioned thing, you know. I think it taken off eventually, but we had it then. And that was it.
So where were you stationed in the action then, Laurie? Where were you stationed during the action?
During that particular action, I was on the depth charge rack, yeah. It would be my job to set them to safety in case, you know, would hit it up like that. I don't want to go down and blow yourself up with your own depth charges.
Did you have any cover during the action then?
Any what?
Any cover aboard?
No.
So you saw all the shelling and
yeah.
That was going on?
Oh, yes, yeah. No cover.
Can I ask you about the depth charges on board there? I mean, how powerful were the depth charges that you're using?
I forgot. I know this much, that if you set one at deep and then a couple at shallow and then another at deep and you let them go, a submarine wouldn't have much of a chance if you got him in right position, you know. They were very, very powerful. You could see the shallow ones would send spray right up, shallow ones. You see a wave, you know, lift it. The water, the sea would lift. And that's the shallow ones. But the deep ones, it would just lift a bit, would the sea, and fall back again. But the shallow ones would send a great plume seawater up in there.
And your job, how would you know to launch the depth charges? Would you have communication with the bridge?
Yes, yeah.
What was that through?
Well, it was a chain of command, actually. The chap down below would be Asdick. He would be tracking the sub. And he would be giving the bridge which direction she was going, approximate depth, you know. And the bridge would then tell the navigating officer, and he positioned himself and start his run, and then they'd let me know down on the depth charge rails, right, fire one, fire two, you know, and that sort of thing. And between you, it was a teamwork, was that.
Would you set the depth? The depth charges would go?
Yeah, they'd tell you what settings you wanted, yeah.
What type of settings would it have?
Oh.
Would it be a depth thing, or would it be...
Depth, yeah. Just for depth only, yeah.
And they would give you the depth from the bridge?
Well, the depths were automatic because they'd just give you the setting. You'd set it on a number setting, you know, on the side of the thing, and it'd be automatic. But that all went out the window, you know, later. I'll come to that, but I was on the hedgehog, which was an advanced thing compared to that. But that's on the wrestler, that's what I was doing, yeah.